Global markets are looking fairly subdued. However, the local all-share index closed in positive territory, but the underlying picture is not necessarily all rosy. The all-share index ended the day up 0.21% to close at 55,161 index points. Financials did well on the day. They were up 3.1%. Meanwhile, resources counters ended the day down 0.07%. Industrials declined by 0.61%, while gold mining counters ended the day down 0.81%. Gold prices are trading around $1,907 an ounce, while Brent crude oil is trading around $43 a barrel. The local currency is trading currently at around 16.47 against the US dollar, 19.40 against the euro, and 21.39 vis-a-vis the British pound. To break down the markets for us, I'm joined on the line by Gary Boyson. He's a portfolio manager at Rand Swiss. Thanks very much for joining us, Gary. So I've laid it out what the markets are looking at like. They're looking fairly subdued. What's your interpretation of how the markets are looking today?
Yeah, I think you pretty much laid it out quite clearly. I mean, you find a very, very strong day for financials with the likes of First Trade and Standard Bank up over 5%. So it was mainly coming from the banks, in the underlying financial index, not so much the insurers. Although we did have Old Mutual up about 4.67%. Overall, I think this is just a little bit of optimism that we're going to get some fiscal stimulus before the election. Hinted at over the weekend by Nancy Pelosi that there was a deadline for Tuesday. And I think the market is really looking for fiscal stimulus in the U.S. If the Democrats and the Republicans can agree to a package pre-elections, I think that's going to be very, very positive for markets. As the day went on, we have seen that the U.S. markets have turned around a little bit, so the nerves just creeping back in, which I think is to be expected as well. The volatility is probably going to remain high all the way into the election.
So yeah.
The U.S. futures picking negative was certainly not surprising at this stage.
So China came out with quite positive data, their GDP stats for the third quarter. That came in at 4.9%. The market had expected 5.2%, but I think they're the only economy that are still registering positive growth.
Yeah, absolutely. And we might have been hoping for 5.2%, but it's still, 4.9% is a good deal better than we got in Q2, which was 3.2% up. So overall, you're right. Certainly out of the developed, at least the major economies of the world, China is probably the only economy that's going to register an annual growth for the year of 2020. So it does look like the recovery is taking hold. And while we did see Asian markets come off a little bit on the back of the miss on expectations, Chinese data has always been a little bit questionable. And I think the market didn't read too much into it. So we saw a little bit softer in Asia on the back of it, but not too much. If you look at the underlying economic data that's coming out of China, all the factory gauges are good. We've seen exports picking up nicely. China's really grabbing market share, in terms of global exports, which we could see be real. I think the concern there is if we do see a strong second wave coming out of Europe of coronavirus infections, that is, and exports dropping off, that could be a potential risk. But in general, that might even be made up for with Chinese consumption. So we're seeing much, much better consumption figures out of the underlying economy as more and more Chinese people spend. And we're seeing that in the retail sales numbers. We're also seeing the likes of industrial production up around 6.1%, which is actually a pre-coronavirus level of growth. So that's very, very optimistic. So I think, yes, the headline number missed, but overall very, very optimistic to see China getting back to work, essentially.
Yeah, it's interesting that you touch on the coronavirus infections, that are causing serious problems for Europe. And it's been interesting in the past couple of weeks, people saying, oh, people won't go back to another lockdown. But it does seem as though some countries are having to do exactly that.
Yeah, so if you look at it, Switzerland, which we obviously have quite close ties to, you now have to wear masks indoors. Groups of 15 people and above are forbidden. You look at the likes of Belgium. Belgium, I think, is one of the highest per capita, at least per capita is one of the highest infection rates in the whole of Europe. So certainly we're feeling the second wave come through Europe. And then it remains to be seen just how stringent those lockdowns are. I think, you know, while many people, you know, coronavirus has become old news and we're all starting to ignore it, just as South Africa's numbers get better, as we see this, spike in Europe, I think it quite possibly could become front and center once again.
Yeah, indeed. And then, of course, the G20, they met over the weekend. What were their concluding statements? You know, they normally come out with a blurb about how they're going to move forward. And of course, the world is faced with the coronavirus. Is it going to be more stimulus?
Yeah, I think the main, I suppose, takeaway from the meetings has been that there's going to be an extent, at least some relief in terms of the debt repayments for emerging economies that are obviously just absolutely hamstrung by what's happened with the coronavirus. So it's going to help them to, you know, focus their spending on healthcare and emergency stimulus packages rather than debt repayments. And I think that's fairly optimistic. I mean, there has been some criticism that it hasn't gone far enough. But yeah, it remains to be seen. I think at the same time, there's only so much that can be done as well. We've got to work within the constraints of reality. And while it's wonderful to have these fiscal stimulus programs large scale spending, we've got to put in context that this is a virus that's caused this. And there's been as many critics of lockdown that we never should have gone into lockdown. But at the same time, it's a balancing act between trying to save people's lives, which is always going to be a tough thing to get right.
Exactly. You talk about fiscal stimulus, you talk about spending in the economy, and we had the president unveil his economic recovery plan to us last week. Market seemed rather muted about it because people seem to be saying it's the same old, even though perhaps it was delivered with a bit more oomph. But one sector that could potentially do quite well out of it is the construction sector. So which of the few construction stocks which remain would you be interested in investing in right now that you think could benefit from the imminent infrastructure spending bonanza?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. I got a list up of what's left in our. I had to go and look what's left in our all share index in terms of construction. So there's only four left in the all share index. There's more that are still listed on the exchange, but in the major index, you essentially got an option of Marion Roberts Rabex, WB, Dawson Wilson Daily Homes, Ofcom, WBHO, and Afrimat. That's essentially what you're looking at. And I think, you know, investors in the local market just have to remember that when times are tough, that's where you really see which companies are high quality. And if I look at those four names, I mean, you know, what stands out to me is probably WBO, which has always been an outstanding construction company. But the one that I would select, if I had to pick one, is probably going to be Afrimat. He's done an exceptional job over the last couple of years in a very, very difficult construction environment at delivering shareholder returns, which is what's really key here. If you look at the company, it's 100% South African in its operations, but it's 100%. It's 99.89 on recent numbers. a little bit in Mozambique as well, but it's quite diversified in that it used to be an aggregate business, but it's moved into some open pit mining as well, which I think it's helped to stabilize the company's earnings. But overall, if I look down my valuation metrics, it gets almost full marks on everything. And it's delivered 18.5% year-to-date return for shareholders so far. So in a very, very difficult environment, it's performed well. So what would you do? I'd rather, what does Warren Buffett say? You know, you rather buy a great company at a fair price, which is where I think Afrimat is trading, than go look for a fair company at a great price. So that's what, even with the run-up that we've seen so far, I'd probably be selecting Afrimat.
Right. And then lastly, before I let you go, Gary, because we won't speak to you until 2 weeks' time, I do want to get your sense of what we can expect from the midterm budget, which is supposed to be delivered next Thursday. And also, you know, how you think the rand is going to be behaving in the interim?
So it's a very good question. So if you look at it, I've been quite surprised at the rand strength. Just given the fact that we were expecting the mini budget to come out on the 20th, and it was obviously delayed by a week. But on that announcement, we had almost almost no reaction from the currency. So, I mean, the currency has been very, very stable in what I would have expected leading up into the midterm budget. You know, a little bit more volatility. It's been kind of hovering between 1646 and, say, 1670. I think you know, volatility should pick up. It hasn't picked up yet. I think what's going to be key in the budget, though, is just how we rein in our debt. You know, we're on a very, very slippery slope, and I think the market is looking for any indication of a credible plan just to moderate you know, that debt in the face of a very, very difficult environment in terms of COVID and the requirement for help and fiscal stimulus. So I think it's going to be a very, very tough balancing act. And I think what's going to put even more pressure on the finance minister as well is the fact that we've got ratings agencies coming out. I think they're cited to deliver you know, further downgrades on the 20th of November. So yeah, it's going to be a tough ask, but I think we're looking for anything that gives us an indication that we're going to be able to stabilize our
debt-to-GDP. Yeah, life is just not fair. Gary, thank you so much for your time. That was Gary Boyson. He's portfolio manager at Rand Suisse.